Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 61. I'm your host, SBJ.
And I'm Mike.
You really?
So one of these days, I'm going to find like a good, I'm just together as a community, as listeners and as podcasters, you and I, I'm going to find the perfect opening, and it's going to be like the clouds parting, and we're all collectively going to be like, he finally did it. He found it.
Then the task will be consistently doing that every single week.
Yeah. Well, once I know, I'll know.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's like love at first sight. Podcasting at first voice.
We just have to start recording one night like 2 hours in advance, and I'll spend 2 hours just doing intros.
Riffing.
Yeah.
I see.
Something good.
Speaking of finding something good, Monster Hunter Double Cross, that's not the name anymore.
Nope.
Generations Ultimate is on the Switch, and that is what we are going to spend the majority, I think pretty much the whole episode talking about. I don't think there's anything notable happening in Monster Hunter World unless you want to hunt Behemoth Extreme.
I mean, that is a thing that's happening.
Yeah, but we chumps over here.
Man, plus
we got a new Monster Hunter to play.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, not
to
new.
Be fair, I respect anybody who has the courage and tenacity to go after Behemoth Extreme. We as casuals have not even completed Behemoth yet.
I feel like if we had more than like 4 hours a week, we probably would have done it.
Yeah, sure. I agree completely. However,
not like four. Probably. I mean, just time, because we've done what, Behemoth twice, three times, and each
three
time
times.
It was like two hours maybe at most, and an hour of that was like waiting for people to connect and like,
sure,
like just sitting in the lobby and changing gear.
Well, and the other part of it too is that we have the time that we have to do things is like we're both very actively doing work or work related things during the day, so we only really get free time to play games not only few times throughout the week, but also really late at night when a lot of other people are asleep.
Yeah.
So finding a group and getting, you know, getting the like time frame right to sit down with a group of four and take on Behemoth has not been the easiest thing, but we'll get it eventually, I believe.
We're on the same schedule, though, which has been always nice.
Yes, that is.
We both don't go to bed till 5 a.m. We both work at home.
You kind of make your own schedules. That is a nice thing. And we could make our own schedules to fit other people's schedules, but we just decide not to do that.
Nah, we're disasters.
I respect anybody who is who has the ambition and drive to go after Extreme Behemoth, but I've seen even veterans who are very good at the game on my timeline complaining that it is way too hard.
Unfair, or just too hard?
I have seen people who have praised many other things in the game, like Arch-Tempered and, you know, all of the like next level difficulty type stuff. I've seen them say things like that nobody wants this, which I don't know if that's just like out of pure frustration from losing to it, or if it's just that it really is way too hard.
Yeah.
I feel like at some point you can make something so hard that it's just not fun.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the case with Extreme Behemoth.
We've talked about that before of like, felt like I needed to do everything when I was playing, you know, games like Destiny or Resident Evil or Contra or whatever, that I was like, I need to do everything, and sometimes stuff is so hard that it's not fun for me.
Right.
Especially when I do have so much fun going through stuff on, like, I'm not ashamed. When I played Uncharted 4 or whatever, I think I played on, like, easy just because I was like, I just want to shoot things and climb walls and enjoy the story. Like, I don't need a challenge when I come to this game. And I know, like, Monster Hunter is a challenging game, and I do feel very, very challenged when I play it. And it's funny because we were playing Generations Ultimate, and this will probably lead into our main thing. But as challenging as Monster Hunter can be sometimes I just want to play really reckless and kind of push limits without playing carefully or, you know, quote unquote, you know, the right way. Just because I'm having fun in that moment of being like, I wonder how reckless I can be and still be able to do this.
Definitely. And I totally get that sentiment. I think there's no shame at all. And, you know, especially with story-based games, myself included, if I'm playing through a game to experience the story for the first time, I 9 times out of 10 will play it on easy or normal just to experience the story without, you know, when you're experiencing a story for the first time, at least for me, I want it to be fluid. And I want to, you know, feel like I'm watching a movie or like experiencing a movie or however you want to put it. And if I'm repeating the same area with 50 enemies in it 10 or 20 times because I'm playing it on ultra brutal difficulty, that doesn't really lend itself well to like having a good paced story experience. So I get that, like, easy or normal difficulty decision. But I do like hard things, too. Like, I do like really... the phrasing. I really like difficult things. Like, I love Bloodborne. I love Dark Souls. I love, you know...
you liked Titan Souls, I think, a lot. I hated that game.
Titan Souls I liked. I like, you know, the old Mega Man games. And I like the old... Ninja Gaidens and games that are very punishing, unforgiving and punishing. But I like them because that's the experience that I'm going for, that I know I'm going for, right? Like, I'm actively deciding to put myself in that position to try and seek out a challenge and then overcome that challenge. Which I think is the case with Monster Hunter. But I think if it gets to a point where it's so difficult that people who are used to pursuing those challenges in that game or going to the game for those reasons are just not having a good time because it's too hard, maybe it's not doing what it's intended to do. I don't know, though. You know, that could have changed. Maybe it's not as bad as people were initially making it out to be, but I can't imagine. Like, normal Behemoth, It's not easy. Like, it's not an easy challenge. I can't imagine what an extreme version of that is like. Case in point, I guess, a good way to communicate this in a Monster Hunter language is Kirin and Arch-Tempered Kirin. Kirin as a hunt is not a particularly fun hunt, and making that hunt even harder and more frustrating doesn't make me want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it enjoyable.
There was a weird balance for me of, I think Kirin is miserable solo, and I think it's fun with multiple players, and I think Kushala is just always miserable.
See, I'm like flipped
on that. And Teostra is like always fun, and I can't, maybe it's just preference at that point, but I can't really put into words why I don't enjoy Kushala and I enjoy Teostra. And like, Kirin is this fine line between like, sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not.
Sure. Yeah. It's weird because I think Kirin as a monster is awesome, and that I have memories from hunting Kirin, but also I just don't ever want to do it again. But Kushala, like, I don't mind, and I don't really know why. I guess in the same vein, like, I can't really put into words why it doesn't bother me as much. The tornadoes are brutal for sure, but for some reason to me it's not as brutal as like really hard to read lightning strike attack patterns and stuff like that.
Well, last week we talked about Capcom sending us codes for Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. So Micah and I had time to play over the weekend on a plane.
Can we quickly
yes
cover something else before we move on to this?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I have the press release in front of me for Generations, but before I do that, what would you like to talk about?
I want to talk about last week we talked about Monster Hunter PC and all the issues that they were having.
Oh, sure.
And the day after, as per Carve tradition, awesome. The day after, it was like literally hours later, they released, after the episode went up, they released, they posted on Twitter that they patched the PC version of the game, and they made some improvements in regards to connectivity. And we were saying on the last episode, we'd said, you know, hopefully that they would, because they hadn't said anything about it at that time, they weren't like talking about it, even though things were not going great for it. We were hoping that maybe they would either say something or they would just patch it. And I had said, maybe they're just going to patch, either they're just going to patch it or they're going to say that they need to say that they're going to patch it, right? Well, they patched it. And they, by the skin of their teeth, with that 1% to spare, they're back up to 45% positive reviews, saving themselves from dropping into mostly negative on Steam, which is cool. It sounds like from that alone, and looking at the reviews, it sounds like they have made the necessary changes to make it much better.
Oh, cool.
Some people are still saying that there are still some connectivity issues, but It sounds like it's not as bad. There's one review that just says online works fine since latest patch, and that's it. So it sounds like it's improved. I just wanted to cover that because we released that episode, and then it was just like immediately after that, you know, and people had contacted us and said they fixed it. And we were like, oh, well, we'd... At the time, they didn't.
Right, of course, yeah. It's always the day after.
It's what we're good at.
Our luck. All right. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate came out on the Switch. Keep in mind, this is, if you're new, Monster Hunter, if this was your first, if World was your first dabble in Monster Hunter, if you're still listening to the Carve, thank you. If you're unfamiliar with a little bit of the history of Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, this was Double Cross in Japan. And originally, this was Monster Hunter Cross on the 3DS in Japan. That was localized to Monster Hunter Generations, which was the last 3DS Monster Hunter game. And then in Japan, they got Monster Hunter Double Cross on 3DS. We did not get a Monster Hunter Double Cross on 3DS. A lot of people... Whether or not you want to get into the argument of if it was good or bad, they decided to skip out on Generations because, as always, America gets a G-rank version eventually. But in this case, we didn't until now.
It was weird. Usually we don't get the first version.
Right.
We get the G-rank version.
We got Generations, and then Japan got Double Cross on 3DS, and then later they got Double Cross on Switch. We never got Double Cross on 3DS, but we now do have Double Cross on Switch, which is called Generations Ultimate, which just came out this week. We heard about it just a couple months ago. I think there are some thoughts on whether or not that was, you know, for the longest... This was what people were... This is the game that when Monster Hunter World was first announced that people were very upset wasn't coming for the Switch. You know, that conversation has been kind of beaten to death at this point, but I got the press release here. Micah and I did some hunting over the weekend, and we both played hours of Double Cross in Japanese, and I can safely say it's the same game. But here's the press release.
How dare you? It's in English.
Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, the follow-up to the highly regarded Monster Hunter Generations, is available to purchase on the Nintendo Switch as physical and digital release. Monster Hunter Generation marks the series' debut for the Nintendo Switch and offers gamers flexibility to play both local wireless and online multiplayer with up to three other hunters, whether playing at home on the big screen or on go in handheld or tabletop mode. Monster Hunter Generation's Ultimate tasks the player of becoming a brave hunter who must go on a journey to defend each of the game's four villages from major threats known as the Fated Four, plus even more dangerous all-new Elder Dragons. The title features a blend of classic gameplay and unique new twists, brand new explorable areas, monsters, plus returning fan favorites like the lightning-fast Zenogre and the stealthy long-tailed Nargacuga, while boasting, boasting the series' largest roster of unique monsters.
Physically shaking that you're saying all these names correctly.
This release also introduced a new quest level called G-Rank that features even more formidable versions of familiar foes, truly testing experienced hunters' battle tactics with no new different moves and abilities never before seen in the wild. For newcomers to the series, the gameplay features a ton of powerful super moves called Hunter Arts that can be executed with a quick tap on the touchscreen. Players can experiment and choose from 6 different hunting styles, including 2 new ones called Valor, which rewards players with new moves for landing successful attacks, and Alchemy Style, a support style that grants the ability to create useful items on the fly during combat. Hunters are encouraged to explore and customize the experiences between quests to find the most personalized playstyles. Owners of the original Monster Hunter Generations on Nintendo 3DS can transfer save data from their previous title to their journey on Monster Hunter Generations. If you want to know how to do that, I was still in my reading press release voice. If you would like to know how to do that, we talked about that last week. Finally, stay tuned to official Capcom channels for release on details of free DLC, including special collaborations such as The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and post-launch additional content for Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. Happy hunting, Capcom team.
I didn't even think about it. I thought about this prior to the actual release because we were playing it early.
Mm-hmm.
But when Double Cross released, we got all of those. And when Generations released, you know, we got all of those, like, item packs and, like, starter sets and all that stuff.
Hats and stuff.
And I didn't see any of that when we were playing it because, obviously, it hadn't officially released yet. And I guess I didn't look to see if they released anything with the official release. Have they?
I don't know. I didn't look either. I haven't played since our airplane trips.
I haven't either.
It was on Tuesday. So, I mean, it's only been... Well, it came out Tuesday, but we...
It was Monday.
Oh, did we fly on Monday? Well, I didn't get home until, like, Tuesday at 3 a.m.
Yeah, this whole week has been a blur. The fact that it's currently Wednesday already is unreal to me. But, yeah, Monday when we were flying home, we played together on the plane.
We did... what did we hunt?
Tetsu.
Cabra.
It's Cabra. Yeah.
You say Tetsu, I say Cabra. I'm not doing this. I cancel that. It's funny because why? Okay, hold on. Back up. I got a bone to pick with you.
Sure. Yeah.
We were playing on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
We had a red eye flight. No one on the plane was talking. The lights were off. We were both aisle seats, but we were like staggered. You were like 2 seats forward from me.
Yeah.
So we were talking through the local wireless chat feature using the touchscreen tap to... Very nice. Very easy to chat on the Switch. I'll tell you that already. A real great feature.
Surprisingly. I didn't even think about it until I saw you send a message and I said, oh man.
it was real great. But I didn't really want to question because I was so tired on that flight and I was like... The one thing I know about Monster Hunter is I love Monster Hunter, always have, always will, but I was very tired and really didn't want to play, but I knew playing Monster Hunter makes time go by super fast. Even if a hunt says it's 9 minutes, it feels like it just makes 20 minutes blaze by.
Oh, yeah.
You just lose so much time playing Monster Hunter, and that's what I love about it. So I knew that, like, even though I was tired and not feeling 100%, and this was a red-eye flight, and I was ready to go home, I was like, I'm going to stick it out and play Monster Hunter because it's going to just make this flight go by very quickly. And it did, but I didn't feel like arguing with you on a silent play, a red-eye flight. But why did you not transfer your character over? Why were you Hunter Rank 1 and we were hunting base Cabra?
Let me tell you a story. I did transfer my characters over. I had two of them. For some reason, one of them had way more stuff than the other one did. And okay. The one that had all of the stuff was the HR1 character. And I decided that that was going to be my go-to for Generations Ultimate.
So you're telling me you redeemed all the good stuff on one character?
Actually use that character. I used another character instead.
All right. This is
a lot of mistakes
reason.
Were made. But that's okay because I was pretty much dead set on starting over or starting fresh anyways. But when we talked last week on the episode, you talked about your experience. I figured I'll give it a shot. I'll send my data over, and I did, and I liked it. It's fine. It was a weird process, but it worked out fine, and I like the characters that I have. But yes, I have a lot to do on the character that I chose.
We hunted nothing but Cabra that entire flight.
To be fair, though, I got the full set in that like hour and 45 minute flight or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we didn't even play the whole time. There was a lot of time paused or, you know.
Yes.
I feel like I need to tell this story. I told this story to my wife today, and she was like, you pretty much went on a date.
You filed for divorce immediately.
So this flight was a little bit rocky.
I thought it was smooth.
There was a little bit of turbulence. It was enough that there were multiple people on the flight that were audibly calling out in distress.
Like none of these people have ever taken a flight before.
It was a little rough. And the woman that I was sitting next to was very stressed, like visually stressed. So at one point I asked if she was doing okay, and she said that she just, no matter how many times she flies, she doesn't get used to when there's like turbulence or there's, you know, something like a jolt or something like that. And so at one point she decided she was going to get when the cart came around, she was going to get a sapphire, Bombay Sapphire, an alcoholic beverage. And I said, you know what? I'll take the journey with you. I can see that you're struggling right now. I'll get a beer and we'll share a drink. Try to make her feel a little bit more comfortable on the flight. Because I've been there. I had a like crippling fear of flying prior to this year where I forced myself to fly like how many times now?
A lot. I have dragged you around this country.
You have. And so I know what that feels like. And so I said, we'll have a drink. Everything will be fine. Help her feel better about it. And then, so we did that, and this was like while we were hunting. So I would just like chit chat with her on the side. And then when we were landing, she was visibly shaken up, like gripping the armrests, like white knuckled, preparing for death, like just ready. And so I offered my hand, and she grabbed my hand and squeezed it. Mind you, this is not like just some random girl that, you know, like she was, I wouldn't say elderly, maybe like middle aged. Like she reminded me, like she's my mom's age probably. And I felt bad, but she was holding my hand tight. And I told my wife this, and she was like, "You're holding hands and getting drinks with another woman on a flight."
So every time you were like leaning over, like chit chatting with her, I was like, man, she must like really be into Monster Hunter or something. And she's probably asking some questions over here. Cause you were always like, every time I like kind of like lean forward to see what you were doing. Cause again, you were like two seats ahead of me. Yeah. I was like, man, like all I saw was your Switch and like her kind of leaning over. And I was like, maybe he's teaching her some sweet strategy, or maybe like she's telling him, he's telling her like how good I am of like, look at this sweet KO my friend in the backseat is doing. He is stunning.
That's actually what was happening
over and
over.
I was breaking tusks left and right.
I was telling her how impressive my friend is at the game. And she was so amazed that she couldn't help but want to hold my hand.
That makes sense.
That's actually what happened.
But the flight landed safely, of course. We're here now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a little bit of, like, a rocky landing, though. I could picture the tail struggling to even out as we were hitting the runway.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was smooth.
Either way, got a full set done in that flight.
It was nice for me. I don't remember what monster I'm wearing. It's like a bunch of purple armor. I think it's the monster that plays Dead. I can't remember his name.
Oh,
if it's not that monster, it's the other one.
Yeah, you told me, and I remembered the name, and I said it, and then I forgot it now.
It's like Gyroscope. That's who I killed.
Gypsaros.
Is that it? Gypsaros?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's Gypsaros. The armor set I had. Either way, I had earplugs, and I had pretty good defenses, and I was real, real reckless with the Cobra.
Yeah.
Didn't die at all, but I could just get in there and do some work and didn't have to worry about healing until it, like, left the area. And it's always, like, a good feeling in Monster Hunter games to, like, our first hunt we did, I think, was 9 minutes long. And then our second hunt was 7. And then our third hunt was 6. And then our fourth hunt was 6. So it always, like, feels good to, like, do it faster and faster. And I could tell that you were getting better, like, better armor. And I don't know, upgrading your sword and stuff. So I was like, oh, like, Mike is doing more damage each time, or at least surviving more each time. Not that any of us died or anything, but.
No. And it helps that we've done, I almost said Gypsaros. It helps that we've done Tetsukabra so many times. Like, I've hunted that monster so many times at this point that, like, it's kind of a cakewalk. And getting that armor set probably would have been faster if I got drops quicker. Like,
yeah. Let me tell you, I don't really want to hunt that monster ever again. I thought I was pretty much done with it, you know, like a year and a half ago when Generations came out.
I kind of felt like it was a good, release ritual, though, right? Like it's like revisiting, for old time's sake, revisiting the big toad boy.
Yeah.
It's also just a really good, like, early game set.
This is, I think, what we need to talk about, and I don't think we really needed to play the English version to talk about this, but it is hard, I think, and it might be very unexpected for people who played a whole lot of World, especially if World was their first Monster Hunter game, to go back to something like this. I haven't played Double Cross since World came out. I mean, I got to G rank. I did everything I wanted to do. I got a full G rank set. I hunted a bunch of Elder Dragons, G rank monsters, and World came out. And I was like, you know what? English it is for me. I'm not going back to Double Cross. And just those beginning hunts with Tetsu and stuff and some other things I've hunted, I forgot paintballs were a thing. I forgot that the map was an item. When we killed Tetsu the first two times, I forgot that, like, oh, I need a pickaxe. Oh, I need a bug net. I need whetstones. It's just all of this stuff came rushing back to my head of, like, oh my goodness, this is so archaic in a way.
It is. No, it definitely is. Not even in a way, it's just archaic. Like, it's just, it's. The quality of life differences are shockingly visible, which is so odd from coming from this platform or this gameplay style, which has been so ingrained for so long up until World. But spending so much time in World, you grew to appreciate all of the quality of life changes so much that not having them now is so obvious. It's like, it would be like, you know, getting a smartphone for the first time for like a year and then having, and then like going back to a flip phone or something, right? Like, you have had that flip phone for years prior to that, but you notice the differences when you go back. You notice all of the things that you don't have access to.
And I don't think it's an argument. The argument I already hear people yelling at is, like, World is too easy. I don't like these changes. I miss old Monster Hunter. And I get when people feel that way. My full-time job is Pokemon. I hear nothing about how Gen 1 is the best. I hear nothing about how Gen 2 is the best. How Gen 3 is the best. How this is bad. How this is good. I hear it all the time. I got 20 years of Pokemon to deal with. So I can already see the, like, I miss old Monster Hunter because it's harder. Or this is this. Or this is that. But let me tell you, filling up your inventory with pickaxes and whetstones and bug nets, and it's not fun. There's nothing fun about that. It sucks.
Yeah, it's not.
It is like going back to old Monster Hunter to experience that. No, in no way is having like 8 inventory items for things that you need to collect anyways. It's no way is that fun.
It's really not. And I mean, even beyond that, just simple things like you said, the paintball, like the fact that we even need a paintball is something that, like, I didn't forget, but when you have to do it again, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, or, like, getting the map out of the item box.
Yeah.
And that taking up an item in your slot and getting to the point of, like, I want to go on a gathering quest, but I don't know this map this well, but if I take a map, that's one less thing I can carry.
Is it actually? I can't remember at it this does, point, but does it actually take up an item slot?
Absolutely. It always did ever since 3U. That was the first time I noticed it. I remember 3U. I remember playing that for the first time, not realizing there was a map in the item box, and then realizing there was a map, and then, you know, some hunts, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I forgot the map.
The item slot thing has never been, like, too bad for, like, it is dumb that I have to carry multiple bug nets and multiple pickaxes and, like, until I get to a point where they're strong enough that I don't have to have, like, a full stock of them, so I'm not, when they're breaking after one or two attempts at mining or catching a bug or something, then I have enough for the run. But I usually, like, I'm pretty good about, I just go back and dump everything out of my inventory so that I don't have, like, I don't fill up space too much beyond what I'm using normally. But just the fact that, like, you don't have an infinite whetstone again is strange. Like, not strange because it's always been that, like, we've experienced it, but it's hard to go back to.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, don't no one get confused that I'm saying, like, oh, they released Double Cross and they should have fixed this. No, I don't think that at all.
Oh,
like,
absolutely not.
It is the game it is. That's fine.
100%.
It's just,
and it's still a really good Monster Hunter game.
Is.
Like,
it is. It's just vocally expressing that it feels archaic now that we've had, you know, 6+ months of Monster Hunter World. And there's a reason that game is Capcom's best-selling game of all time, because it has made Monster Hunter so much more accessible to the world. Now, there's not right. That wasn't a pun, because Monster Hunter World,
just in user experience and things like that, it's clear that helped improve how, or it helped it become a better received game, I guess.
And
we got used to it, but
I
not everybody wanted to.
Yeah. I don't think Monster Hunter Switch would have, I still buy in, and we'll probably never know, and, you know, some people might disagree with me, but I don't think if World became their best-selling game of all time, I don't think they would have brought the Switch version over. I think When you have investors, and when you have a game like World, and it is not only your best selling monster game of all time, but your best selling monster game of ever, of your best selling Capcom game period, I think that's when you go, like, okay, the brand is strong, the name is strong, let's bring over this game for Switch.
Oh, absolutely.
I believe that. I believe if Monster Hunter World sold, you know, as good as Generations, or, you know, maybe even slightly better, I don't think they would have pulled the trigger on that. That being said, there is no way. I cannot ever imagine them going back to what Generations Ultimate is. There's just too many quality of life changes. There's a reason this game is their best-selling Capcom game, so why would they ever revert back to Generations and what Generations has done when everything in world points to, like, keep doing this or do this better, and stuff in Generations is, it's fine, and it was definitely fine for the time, and it's definitely a good game, but it's, I can't ever see them going back to what Monster Hunter used to be prior to World.
I agree fully. I don't think they will. I mean, I think it's clear that World is the new gold standard for what the, how the game is going to progress. I can only see it improving from there. Like, it's everything that they did, in my opinion at least, has been improvements on the franchise. I'm sure a lot of people don't necessarily feel that way, but I feel strongly that because of that, that is the that is true, and because of that, it did as well as it did. I don't see them going back either. But, you know, that doesn't change the fact that it's nice to get this. It's nice to get Generations Ultimate, and it's nice to get a Monster Hunter on the Switch at a point where they can't currently offer the most recent Monster Hunter on the Switch. And I 100% agree that you, I think you're totally right. And I think we talked about it in the past too, that like it would only make sense for them to port this if the game did well, because even if the, not saying that this is done in any malicious way or anything, or any, like, you know, Capcom being evil or anything like that, but just in general, the idea that World is their best-selling game, even just saying Monster Hunter and having that name as an available Switch game on a platform that people are already buying pretty much anything that comes out on it if they own one, because they want things to play on it, it's an easy sell, especially because, like, primarily because it carries such a name now with so many people that didn't care about that name before with the success of World. So I think it would be easy to say from an investor standpoint, don't release it until you see how well this one does that you're putting a lot of time and a lot of money into. If it does well, then release it, because it's not going to make or break the franchise either way. Like,
right. It's not like if this sold bad, it would affect a Monster Hunter World 2 or whatever they decide to call a future game.
Right.
Which I feel like if they were to do anything, it would probably be a Monster Hunter World 2.
Right.
Because I feel like that brand or that image is like the strongest thing they have. It's just like how Destiny is Destiny 2, because Destiny was such a huge, that name itself was so ingrained in people's minds that sticking a 2 on it was like, oh, well, I gotta get, love the first one, gotta get the second one, or that's, I only heard great things about the first one, might as well jump on board here.
Gotta buy those sequels. But let me tell you, from I feel like, you know, I don't want it to sound like we're just saying, oh, it's just like, it's nice that they just let us have this thing that, like, we don't really care about, or we don't, you know, like, World was better, why do we need this, or something like that. I really, really enjoyed, I think Generations is a good game just from the perspective of, it's like the greatest hits of the,
it's the greatest hits of Monster Hunter. World.
Right, like it's the old era and the new era, World being the new era, and this is like the perfect cherry on top summary of everything that the previous Generations, get it? Do you get the name?
I get it.
You get the joke.
Mm-hmm. I don't previous know if the generation, joke, but
the previous Generations, like the greatest hits of that. I think it's great. And we played Double Cross in Japanese, and we had a good time with it, but I honestly believe this, having it in English has improved the experience for me. Like, being able to, it's, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be like, oh, it's just, you know what you're doing. Like, you know what the things are that you do, but
yeah,
being able to read everything, being able to see everything is...
Yeah, I don't care about that stuff.
A huge... It's to me, it's a big improvement.
Yeah.
And it makes it way more enjoyable for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I liked it. It felt really great to play that on the Switch. Playing on an airplane with you was an incredible experience. And whether I put, 10 more hours into Generations or... 200 more hours in, sorry, Generations Ultimate, 200 more hours into Generations Ultimate, like, I'm definitely going to remember when we killed Cabra 6 times on an airplane, and your person sitting next to you was just amazed at how good I was at the game.
And I was in the process of destroying my marriage.
Right, right. It's cool to have a portable Monster Hunter again, and it looks good and it feels good. I think there, for me, it was, I think that, like, I, as much as I'm loving the light bow gun in World, I don't think I could ever tolerate or handle playing the light bow gun in, the old generation of Monster Hunter, even with two sticks. It just doesn't feel as fluid or smooth or whatever word you want to describe it. It just doesn't feel good to me. That I stuck with the hammer, but even with the hammer, I'm like looking for walls to run up to backflip, and I'm like running down hills being like, why is my character sliding? And then I'm hitting, trying to do the big bang, but it doesn't do the big bang.
Right.
So there is that stuff where, like, when I'm doing it, I'm having fun, but at the same time, I'm just like, oh yeah, I could do so much more with the hammer.
Let me tell you though, I picked up Longsword in World and never really touched it in previous games. So I started playing Longsword in Generations Ultimate, and I've been playing Valor Longsword. I really like it a lot. It's really good. I am a fan of it, and I think that having the, like, not better, but the quality of life improved Longsword in World has helped me figure out much faster and much easier how Longsword works. Like, it's not like I'm learning a new weapon, right? Like, I'm,
yeah,
it's very different, but I'm much quicker to pick it up because of playing it in World.
There's a whole lot of content in Generations Ultimate, so I've seen it all. I went through everything. I will say, like, I'm excited to fight the Fated Four again. I think they're all very cool. I don't know how much time I'll put into it compared to you, since I put a lot of time into the Japanese version where you fell off. And we've talked about that before, but
sure.
I think it's definitely, like, I definitely want to get far enough into it. Like, I'm already at high rank in this because I transferred my character, so I would like to at least get to base G rank before I might, put it on the shelf for a couple days or a couple of weeks or something. But sure. I feel like it is a game that when I go to a PAX or I go to a TwitchCon where we could end our con and be like, hey, let's do a hunt or two with people locally or while we're waiting in line or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see it being used for, at least for me, as somebody who's played through all of it again and doesn't, not really too motivated to go through all of G rank again just because I did it. But that doesn't mean I'm done having fun with it.
Sure.
Yeah, I can hunt different monsters and get different armor sets this time. I mean, I got how I played the Japanese version. Because I couldn't read everything, is I would just focus on one specific monster, get that full armor set that I, looked up of, like, okay, what perks is this armor set going to give me? Okay, cool. I'm going to keep hunting this monster. I have the full armor set, and then I'm going to
nice?
Look. It is nice. It is
that
nice.
You don't have to Google anything now.
I mean, it's whatever. I feel like I would have still done the same thing. It probably just would have made me do it, like, faster / I was so dedicated to getting to G rank in the Japanese version. I probably would have just, like I said, I probably would have done the same thing. I would have been like, what's the best monster to hunt right now? Is that monster's weaknesses and strengths good against the next best monster to hunt? and then kind of go for there. So I was like really just leapfrogging from monster to monster. Got the full set here. All right, grind this monster till I get the full set. Okay, keep moving up and keep moving up and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
I think the only thing that would have helped with maybe is like switching out weapons, because I stuck with the same weapon, so it probably would have been smarter to be like, I'll bring a water weapon here instead of a fire weapon, but all I got is this fire weapon, so I'm not doing as much damage, but it'll still get the job done.
I really think that the biggest part of why I fell off on it, on Double Cross, on the Japanese version, is mostly because of that. Like, it was much more of a hassle to me to have to sit down and Google, okay, what set am I going for? What parts am I missing from that set because I can't read what these parts are? Like, what do I need to hunt right now? Like, what extraneous stuff do I need to seek out? Like, you know, case in point with Tetsu, like Reno Plus scalps or something. Like, what is this part that doesn't look like it's part of what I'm hunting, you know?
Oh, man, I got real good at icon searching.
It's such a pain, though. Like, I didn't like having to do that. And I just, I guess I'm just at a point where, like, feel like I'm getting too old to have to, like, have a million tabs open to figure out what I'm doing while I'm playing a game, and I just want to sit down and play the game.
Yeah.
And
I like that specifically for Monster Hunter, because I felt like I've always had that with Monster Hunter. With, like, 3U. I mean, 3U, I played with no tabs, and then once I got deeper and deeper in, I'm like 40 tabs deep of like, oh, this and this and this, and
oh,
I really
yeah,
liked it.
Sure. I mean, yeah, if you're doing specific things, but like just to navigate generally, like I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to do that. It's so much nicer having it in English and being able to do that and figuring out food and stuff like that. And we talked about Redmond Stash's translation guides and stuff like that, which were all really great when Double Cross came out, but it's just nice to, no offense, Redmond Stash, but it's really nice to not have to do that the whole time I'm playing the game. Like, and really, that's a big part of why I'm so into my Switch right now, and I'm so into games on the Switch, is because I like to spend a lot of time sitting on the couch, or like, you know, if I'm playing a game, in a portable fashion, so that we can, you know, either watch a movie or watch a TV show or something together, and I can be sitting and playing a game, or I'm going somewhere to your house, or we're traveling or something, and I'm playing the game on that, and I have it with me wherever I go, or I can play it in bed. And having all of these tabs and all of these translation guides and stuff on my phone or whatever at all times takes away from the experience a little bit. It's nice to actually just sit down and have everything in front of me. So
we're running a little bit long, but before we wrap up, I don't know if there's anything you want to tackle. There's always next week, of course, when we get more generations under our belt. But I do want to say, like, if you have a Switch, and I'm assuming the people who are listening to this podcast right now, I'm assuming that they have played Monster Hunter World. I'm assuming they either got the PC version or the PS4 version or the Xbox version. That's why they're listening to the podcast. I think if you have a Switch, I think World is, I do honestly believe it is a must-buy game for the Switch.
Generations Ultimate?
Generations Ultimate, yeah. What did I say?
You said World.
Yeah, buy World for the Switch.
Yeah.
I don't care if it doesn't work.
Just
buy it.
No, you get the disc and you just jam it into whatever's the fan, wherever you can fit it.
The fan. I do think it's worth it. I think the message is clear. Like, just know that if World was your first game, there is a lot of opposite of quality of life, non-quality of life things that you may have to deal with. And on top of, like, making sure you have whetstones and paintballs and the map and bug nets, knowing that your weapon isn't going to work the same way. So keep that in mind. Also, mess around with the styles. Pick a style that's good for you. I personally really like Adept, which is the you get like bonuses and you get like a slightly bigger dodge window that feels real good. I really like that, but there are other styles you can use and, of course, take advantage of the hunter arts, which are really cool.
A lot of people really like that aerial insect glaive.
People love aerial. Aerial anything, I feel like. Aerial hammer, aerial dual blades, aerial...
Oh, man.
Aerial it up.
Aerial is good times.
My only advice with aerial is don't get too attached to it.
Yeah. Unfortunately. I tried going really hard into aerial longsword, but Valor style is just so good.
Yeah. Wasn't that used to call Brave style? Wasn't
it
that?
Was, yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah, I'm loving it. I heard, though, I haven't hooked it up to my TV. I mean, I hooked the double cross up to the TV. I heard it doesn't look as good on the TV, which obviously makes sense for a 3DS game on the TV. But, man, it looks real good in handheld mode.
It does, yeah. I literally was going to do that tonight. Was, like, in a couple hours, was plug it into the dock and take a look at it on my TV and do maybe do a couple hunts.
Yeah, you got to catch up with me.
I can report back.
Sick of pulling you through it.
Jeez.
That's you left and right. No, it was all good.
You got to start fresh with me. You got to take all that hard work that you did and you got to throw it right in the trash.
I have a feeling that I'm going to put 100 hours in this game and 98 of them will be spent during HR 1 to 4 helping people get through this. And I'm fine with that.
And if it gets people, you know, playing Monster Hunter, cuz a lot of people who have Switches or have, this is another like interesting facet of this, a lot of people who have Switches or have 3DSs or whatever don't have PS4s or Xbox Ones or PCs or like people who are very hard, like diehard Nintendo, stay diehard Nintendo, and they may have never experienced World at this point, and Generations Ultimate might be their first real Monster Hunter experience because they're buying something for their Switch. So if it gets people playing, all I care about, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
As long as people are having a good time. And the veterans who have Switches as well, or the people who've played old Monster Hunter or know the feeling of an old Monster Hunter, it's not going to be anything different. It's more of what you were used to before the game got a lot better.
Yeah. Well, speaking of getting better, you can follow Micah on Twitter at MicahTheBrave.
I don't know about that transition.
You can follow me on Twitter at DraggingALake. And you can follow the podcast at on Twitter at CarvePodcast. Otherwise, like I said earlier, I'm sure we'll have some more Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate time under the belt. Weird now having two Monster Hunter games because I don't know which one I want to play more.
I'm going to be honest. I want to play more Generations Ultimate. Maybe it's because it's new, but
yeah,
that portable aspect. I really like it.
So we'll be back next week. Hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on switching those monsters. Do you get it? No. Like,
oh. Like Switch?
Nintendo
like
Switch.
Like Switch Axe? Socks?
Like Switch. I was going to snap, but that probably won't sound very good.
Like Diablo 3 on Switch?
Oh, gosh. The Switch is getting so good.
The Carve is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork for The Carve was created by Micah, the co-host of this show. The music by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy The Carve, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcasts or tell a fellow hunter about us. If you'd like to support The Carve, you can do so at patreon.com/carvepodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you'll gain access to our Discord to bone up with other hunters who listen to the show. Big shout-outs to The Carve's Life Powder supporters, Rebecca C., Bastion D., Chris B., Kenley C., Armored, Jin, 8-Bit Core, Snake, Justin C., Gavin M, Kay, Austin B, Carly, and Brandon. Thank you all for listening.